Yeah, the scriptures make it absolutely clear that salvation is only by God's grace. It is the gift of eternal life that God has given us through the finished work of our Savior Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and He rose again that we might have life by simply trusting in Him. We receive this gift in one way, and that's by faith alone, in Christ alone. It's not by any works of righteousness which we have done whatsoever. Ephesians 2:8-9 makes that so clear. By grace we've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But once we are saved, the question comes up for us as believers is how do we live? How do we walk as we live our lives here on this earth? And we live in the same way that we were saved, and that is by faith. We walk by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 talks about the fact that that as long as we are at home in this body of flesh, with its sin nature, that we're absent from the Lord. We're absent from the Lord. And so you look at the things that we can't see. We're here on this earth. God is in heaven. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is in heaven. Those are things we can't see. So verse 7 goes on to say that we walk by faith and not by sight. I think that's one of the issues that many Christians have, that all of us have as Christians, is on some days we walk by sight rather than by faith. And that's when we get ourselves in trouble. What does it mean, though, to live the Christian life, and what does it mean to walk by faith and trust in the Lord day by day? What does it look like practically in our lives to see that? This morning we're going to look at a man from the Old Testament who in many ways exemplified a life of faith, and that man is Abraham. His faith is recorded in the book of Genesis, numerous chapters there devoted to God's purpose for Abraham, and Abraham, the way he lived his life in response to God. And he is a man who records how Abraham became the father of God's people, the nation of Israel. And the Jews still look to him today. They talk about their father Abraham. He's very important to them. His faith is spoken of in many different passages of Scripture. In fact, I looked it up and looked up Abram or Abraham last night, and there were 278 verses in the Bible that mention him. So obviously he's very important in the plan and purpose of God. Romans chapter 4, Galatians chapter 3, Paul speaks quite extensively about the faith of Abraham and uses this as an example to us of what faith is and what it should look like in our lives. James, in James chapter 2, mentions the faith of Abraham. And in Hebrews chapter 11, really we see a stress on Abraham and his faith. If you'll turn there with me this morning, this is commonly referred to as the faith chapter because in it we see the lives of men and women of faith in the Scriptures and how different things in their lives were used by God as examples of what the nature of faith really is. What does faith look like? What is the nature of faith? And Abraham has more verses devoted to him than anyone else. So there are 13 verses that are devoted to Abraham and to Sarah. The closest one to him is Moses, and Moses has 7 verses devoted to him. So obviously Abraham is a wonderful example to us of faith. Let's look beginning in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 8. And we're going to read down through verse 19. He says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac your seed shall be called,' concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense." We see in this passage of Scripture 4 different aspects of the faith of Abraham and Sarah. She's included in this as well. and their faith in God. Verse 8 starts us out. It says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance." God called Abram when he was dwelling in Mesopotamia, the other side of the River Euphrates, or the Chaldees, and I'm sure that Abraham lived there with his family. He had a nice home. He had lots of possessions, cattle, livestock, and so forth, and had lots of friends and family living there. It must have been a good life. He probably enjoyed it. The problem with Abraham's family, along with all the other families of the earth in those days, is they worshipped idols. From the Tower of Babel, that took place in Genesis chapter 11, we see men spread out over all the earth, and for the most part, they worshipped idols. And so God called to Abraham while he was there, and he basically told him, he says, "Abraham, you need to get out of your country. You need to get away from your family and away from your father's house, and I want you to go to a land that I will show you." Didn't tell him where it was. Didn't tell him exactly what he's going to do there. He says, "Just get out and go to a land that I will show you." And notice what it says. By faith, Abraham heard what God said and believed what God said, and it says, what did he do? He did. He obeyed. One of the aspects of faith is obedience. Faith is obedience to God. He had faith in God's purpose for his life, even though he didn't know what it was. At that particular point in time, he didn't really have a full understanding of what that purpose was. There were some things that God had promised him, and told him about this land that he was one day going to show him, and he was going to show him this place he would one day receive as an inheritance. But he'd never been there, he'd never seen it. And yet he believed God. He believed that God has a purpose for my life, and he stepped out in faith and obeyed what God said. Think about how difficult that is. To leave behind everything that's familiar to you, everything that's comfortable, everything that's important to you, everything that's meaningful in your life, and say, "I'm going to leave all that behind, I'm going to go on the word of God," who's just appeared to him. And this is not a God he'd been worshiping. This is a God who just appeared to him and spoke to him. I don't know how he appeared to him. I don't know if he came to him in a vision or a dream or just spoke to him from heaven. I don't know how he talked to Abraham, but he did. And he understood, Abraham understood that this God has a purpose for my life. I don't know exactly what it is. I don't know how it's going to be fulfilled, but he stepped out in faith. You know, times in our lives that God asks us to do exactly that. We have to understand that God has saved us and called us with a holy calling according to his own purpose and grace that was given to us in Christ Jesus even before time began. God has a purpose for our lives. I know some people question and wonder, what is God's purpose for my life? I know sometimes when people reach an older age and they get to the point where their bodies are not able to function like they once did, and they question and say, what does God have for me to do? What is God's purpose for my life now? Why doesn't God just take me home? And I know a lot of people who have experienced those feelings. I have some relatives now going through some very difficult times like that, and they're wondering that in their minds right now. We have to trust God. We have to put faith in God, that God's purpose for us. You know, we're called according to his purpose. And all things work together for what? For good. To those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Sometimes it's not easy to trust that, but that's what faith means. It means we trust what God's purpose is for our lives. Abraham did that. He recognized and understood this is a purpose. And turns out, in fact, it was a great and it was a glorious purpose, was it not? I mean, God's purpose for Abraham was that he would father a nation. And through that nation would come one into this world through whom all families of the earth would be blessed. You see, his family was the one through whom God would send his Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, into this world to provide salvation, redemption for all mankind through his finished work on Calvary. Abraham didn't understand all that and see that all at once, but he trusted and believed God, and God would work it out for him. Look at verse 9. It says, by faith, again, hearing what God said and responding to it, believing it, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Now, one of the reasons God called Abraham out of Mesopotamia and away from his family and away from his father's house is because of their idolatry. Mesopotamia is a very area, very likely, where the Tower of Babel was built. That was the center of that idolatrous worship system that was in place there. And so his family became a part of that. They worshipped idols. Abraham himself, no doubt, worshipped idols in Joshua chapter 24, verse 2. And then God, you know, brings him to another land, the land of Canaan. And Abraham gets to the land of Canaan, and what does he find? He finds a land filled with idolatry. It's not any different there than it was in Mesopotamia. And I'm sure the first question that goes to Abraham's mind is, why would you bring me from that place to this place? It's not any different. But see, he trusted God. He believed that God had a purpose for his life, yes, but he trusted God's promise as well. I will give you this land. I will make of you a great nation. Through you, all families of the earth will be blessed. He believed in God's promise. He had faith in that. And so look at verse 9 again. He dwelt in the land of promise as if it was what? As if it was a foreign country. As if it was a foreign country. For in one sense it was. But he dwelt there as a stranger in the land. What did he live in? I mean, he must have had a nice home back in Ur of the Chaldees, you know, a nice home that, you know, his family had built or he'd inherited. I don't know where it came from, but he must have had a nice home there. And he goes to the land of promise, and throughout his entire life, lived in that land of promise, he lived in tents. He lived in tents. Now, some people like to go camping, but I bet most people would not like to live in a tent the rest of your life. You know, go spend a weekend or even a week or two camping is one thing. But to live in a tent your entire life, you know, that's got to get real old real quick. He did that. He did that. His son Isaac did that. Isaac's son Jacob did that. All of these men who were the fathers of this nation, they dwelt in the land of promise, the promise that God will give them that land, which Abraham never possessed any of that land, except in his death he bought a burial plot. He had a place to lay his body in that land. Isaac and Jacob were buried in that place as well. But that's all that they actually possessed. They were heirs of this promise of God, and yet they were willing to dwell in tents. They did that. They built altars in that land. They did not become associated with the people of that land. They kept themselves separate from the people in that land because they were idolaters. And they lived a life that was separated unto God, waiting for His promise. Because look at the next verse. Verse 10 says, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob with him, they waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now the city there in view that's in view here, I believe, is what is described in the book of Revelation, chapters 21 and 22, which is the New Jerusalem. Because it's particularly described as having 12 foundations. And we see it. This is a building, a city that comes down from God out of heaven and comes to the new earth. I think that's a place that comes to that very land that was promised to Abraham and his family and his descendants. But that's what they're looking for, is a city that has foundations whose builder and maker is God. That wasn't on the earth at that time. That wasn't what they were looking to inherit, but they waited for it. They waited for it. In fact, go down with me to verse 13. It says, these all died in faith. They still remained in their faith. Even when they died, they believed that what God had promised, He was one day going to provide. They hadn't received the promises. They hadn't received the land. They hadn't inhabited that city that God had promised to come down for them, or they would dwell with God forever. They hadn't received that, but they'd seen Him. He said, they'd seen Him, even afar off. Now, how did they see Him? They didn't see Him with their eyes. They saw Him with the eyes of faith. They saw with faith that God will take care of His promises. And so they were willing to dwell as strangers in that land. Even though they didn't receive the promises, they saw Him afar off. They were assured of them because God had promised them. God had given His word. And it says, and they embraced them. They held on to those things and they confessed and acknowledged, we're just strangers in this land. We're just strangers and pilgrims here on this earth. Now, think about our situation as believers today. What is our home? What do we look forward to? What has God promised us? Where is our citizenship? You see, all of those things, it's not here on this earth. Sometimes we live as if this is the most important place in our lives because we're here right now. We can see it. We can touch it. We experience it. But this is not our home. This is not where we're going to spend eternity. In fact, our time here upon this earth, it says in the Scriptures, it's going to be like a vapor, a smoke. It's just there for a brief time and then it's gone. Our time here compared to eternity that we have in heaven, we live here on this earth today in the same way that Abraham lived in the land of promise, as strangers, as pilgrims here on this earth. This is not our home. We're dwelling in a sense in tents. These bodies of flesh, the Apostle Paul described them as tents. This is not our home. God has an eternal home, a building from God, that's prepared for us in heaven. And one day we're going to have that. And it'll be wonderful when we do. You know, when we have a glorified body, when we have an incorruptible and immortal body, a powerful body, a body with no aches, pains, no sorrow, no tears, no pain, none of that, all that's gone away. Won't that be wonderful? And yet, here, the time we have now, we have to live in these bodies of flesh. And we know what happens to them. They're corruptible. They're mortal. They experience all sorts of problems. But we continue to do what Abraham did. We dwell in these tents. And we worship God by faith. And we don't become a part of the world. Look in Colossians chapter 3. This is the focus of what Paul says in Colossians chapter 3 is we have to understand what our life really is as believers. Look with me at verse 1. He says, if then, and this is not a conditional if, this is since then, or if, as is the case, you were raised with Christ, he says, seek those things which are where? Which are above. Because that's where Christ is. We seek things that are above. If your value system is based just what's on this earth, if you're seeking the things that this world has to offer, if you're concerned with possessions and money and fame and pleasure and all the things that this world can offer, your mind is in the wrong place. Your direction, your pursuit is in the wrong place. He says, we're to seek those things which are above. That's where our home is, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. That's in heaven. Set your mind on things above. King James has the word affection. It's a word that means your mind, your heart, your purposes, your desires, your aims, your value system. Everything is to be set on things above, not on things on the earth. I think in one sense Abraham did that. I think he wasn't perfect. Can we point to passages of Scripture in Genesis where Abraham sinned? Yeah, there was two occasions where he passed off his wife as his sister because he was afraid that she was a beautiful woman, and he was afraid that the rulers of the area where he was were going to take her away from him and kill him, and so he passed her off as his sister. He did it twice, once in Egypt and once in another place. And you say, boy, how could he do that? Well, you know, he's a man with a sinful nature, was he not? And yet, he remained faithful to God. He remained faithful to God in his life. And so this is what we're to do. He says, verse 3, you need to remember that you died, and your life that lasts for eternity and counts for eternity, that's hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. We're going to be going home one day. But as long as we're here, God wants us to be faithful to Him. God wants us to trust Him. He says, I've made promises to you. You're going home one day, but right now, you're in the place that I have for you. Abraham was in the place God wanted him to be. He might have not understood it, but he was right where God wanted him to be. And he had a purpose for him there and was going to use him there. And God has us right where He wants us to be, here on this earth. And He has a purpose for us. You know, Abraham, just like us, was an ambassador for Christ. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're living here as God's representatives to a sinful world that needs salvation, that needs to hear about Jesus Christ. Abraham was there to testify of the love of God and of the faith of God and of the promises of God and of the power of God. That's what we're here for as well. And so we're to realize that. Titus chapter 2, look at that passage with me just real quickly. Titus chapter 2, Paul emphasizes the same thing as he writes to Titus about preparing these churches of Crete to live and serve the Lord. Look at verse 11. And this passage of Scripture is really patterns in many ways exactly what happened in Abraham's life. Look at verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. God's grace appeared to Abraham, did it not? When he was an idolater living in the land of Mesopotamia, Ur of the Chaldees, God's grace appeared to him. That's the only reason Abraham was saved, because God showed grace to him, this idolatrous man. He says that the grace of God not only does that, it also, verse 12, is teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. That's what Abraham did as well. He lived in that land of Canaan, dwelling in tents. You look at a contrast. Look at his nephew Lot, who came with him. Now, in one sense, this was another disobedience of Abraham to God, is he took Lot with him. He was not supposed to take his family. He was to get away from his father's house and from his family, but he took Lot with him. And eventually God made sure that they were separated, because Lot didn't have the same type of heart and mind that Abraham did. Now, Lot was described in the Scriptures as a righteous man, but he was not a godly man. He was not a man who lived a godly life. In fact, he associated himself with one of the worst places on earth, Sodom and Gomorrah. He not only, dwelt near them, he eventually dwelt right in the midst of them and became a part of their civilization and their city and their government. And what did God eventually do to that? He destroyed it. His choices were totally, they're not by faith at all. Abraham understood that there are things that we're to deny. You live in tents and you build altars because you're not to become a part of the world and the world system and their worship. And he did that. He lived soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. That's what God calls us to do. That's how we live. That's the way we let our light shine before men, that they may glorify our Father in heaven. That's where we shine as lights in the world, that people may see Christ in us, is we live this way in the world. Abraham did that as well. But look at verse 13. Looking for, always and continuously looking for, the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, our hope is one day Christ is going to come for us and take us home to be with Him in glory. We are to be constantly looking for that. Abraham did the same thing. Abraham was looking for that. That's a part of what it means to live by faith, is to be looking for what God has promised, being expectant that God will carry through His promises. Therefore, I'm willing to live here and do these things God's called me to do because that's His purpose for my life. Go back with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse 11. It says, by faith, Sarah herself. Now, Sarah and Abraham were husband and wife, and they were united as one in the Lord as husband and wife. And so they both, I think, are representative of the aspect of faith that we see here. It says, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky and multitude innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Now, this is one of the amazing things about the life of Abraham and Sarah, is that God promised them, He promised Abraham, that his seed would be in number as the stars in heaven, or as the sand on the seashore. At the time, though, Abraham and Sarah were getting old. Okay? And they had no children whatsoever. Sarah was barren. And so God repeated those promises to him. And finally, even when Abraham was 99 years old and Sarah was 89 years old, God promised them that you are going to have a child. You are having a child and it'll be with Sarah. Now, they're both past the age of childbearing. As far as their ability physically to produce a child, they're dead. That's exactly what it says. But notice what it says. Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. Now, that strength came from God. This is a miraculous thing that God did in their lives to give them this child. Isaac was a miracle child. Okay? Exactly that. It was all of God. It all came by God. She received the strength to conceive that seed, and she bore this child when she was past the age. Now, look at the reason, verse 11. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, this aspect of faith is not just in the promise that he made, but in God himself. Her faith was in God himself and in the character and the person and the nature of God. That God was a faithful God. That what God had promised, not only, that promise was carried out, but God was faithful to do it. There's no way that he was not going to carry through with what he promised. There are a lot of people today who believe that God is through with Israel. That God has replaced Israel with the church, the body of Christ, and that we are now spiritual Israel. But I read in the Old Testament scriptures, and I read in the teachings of the Lord Jesus, and I read in the book of the Revelation, and God still has a purpose for Israel and promises to Israel that He will fulfill. Abraham believed that. He believed that God was going to fulfill this first aspect of the promise, which was that he and Sarah were going to have a child. She judged God faithful who had promised. And as a result of that faith and that trust in the person of God, that child was brought into this world by God's power. And again, for God's purpose. Look with me in Romans chapter 4. Now, don't get the wrong idea that Abraham and Sarah at all times had perfect faith in God, because there were times when they questioned. There were times when they, I think, doubted. But ultimately, when God promised, they believed, and they believed that God was faithful to carry through. It's described in Romans chapter 4. Go down with me to verse Let's start in verse 17. It says, as it is written, he says, I have made you a father of many nations. That's what God said to Abraham. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. I love that statement. God gives life to who? To the dead. That's what he's done for us, is it not? We were dead in trespasses and sins. We were spiritually dead and separated from God. God gave us life through Jesus Christ. God gave life to the bodies of Abraham and Sarah. That which was physically dead, he gave life to them so that they could bring a child into this world. He says, in the presence of God whom Abraham believed, verse 18, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. You wouldn't expect. You can look at Abraham and anybody else who looked at Abraham, and even Abraham looking at himself and Sarah looking at herself, they would certainly not have expected that they were going to have a child. But in spite of that fact that there was no real expectation physically, he says, in hope, in expectation of what God said and who God is, it says they believed, so that he became the father of many nations. According to what was spoken to him, so shall your descendants be. Goes back to Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. When God says, look at the stars and see if you're able to count them, so shall your descendants be. Abraham believed that. Look at the next thing. Not being weak in faith, verse 19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body, which was already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. And you see, that's faith in God. That's faith in the person of God, that what he has promised, he's faithful to carry through. I love the two things it says. In verse 19, it says, he did not consider his own body. If he had just looked at his own body, how would he have been walking? By sight or by feel. How do I feel? Do I feel? I look at myself, I see myself, I'm not capable of bringing a child in this world. But he didn't consider his own body. It was already dead. He didn't consider that at all. Verse 20, he said he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. He never wavered that God will do what God has promised. He's faithful. Look at the next statement. He was strengthened in faith. You know, God can do that for us. God can strengthen our faith. There was a man who had a child who was demon-possessed, and the disciples were not able to cast out this demon. And Jesus asked this man if he believed. And the man says, I believe. He says, help my unbelief. You know, he knew, I believe, but I need my faith strengthened. Abraham had his faith strengthened. I think God can do that. If we trust God every day and trust in every aspect of his purpose and his promises and his power in our lives and who he really is, who God is, our faith grows stronger. That's part of spiritual growth, is a growth in our faith. He said he was fully convinced that what God had promised, he was able to perform. That's why God counted him righteous. Go back with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse 17. Here is the most maybe amazing thing. All of these things are amazing. I think of any of the things that happened in Abraham's life, I think they're tremendous examples of faith and trust in God. It's walking by faith and certainly not by sight. Looking at things from God's perspective and not from the world's perspective. Whether it's leaving his home and going to a country God would show him, whether it's living in that place as a dwelling in tents, whether it's having a child when he's 100 years old and his wife is 90, or this one, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, it says, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. God was faithful to the promise, and Isaac was born. And when Isaac came into this world, Abraham and Sarah loved him dearly. He was the beloved son of Abraham. He was a special son. It's not to say that Ishmael still didn't have a place in Abraham's heart, but Isaac had a special place above it. And this was a special place in a sense because this was a child that was given miraculously from God. Ishmael was a child of the flesh. Isaac was a child of God and by faith in God. And so he was very special. And as he grew and they spent time with him, that love only grew deeper and deeper. And then God places a test before Abraham. He asked him to do something, which is, you know, from a human standpoint, we would look at and we would say, this is a terrible sacrifice to ask someone to do. I mean, to ask somebody to be willing to lay down their life, that's a tough thing to do right there. But many people are willing to lay down their lives. I mean, we've got, you know, soldiers going to battle and lay down their lives. Police officers, firemen, so forth. They're willing to lay down their lives every day, and they do the work that they do. You know, if your family is endangered in some way, you might be willing to lay down your life to try to save them. But that's not what Abraham is asked to do. He's not asked to give his life. What's he asked to do? To give up the life of his child. And not just any child, but a special child, a beloved child, a child that is more special to him than anything you can imagine. The same type of love, in one sense, that God the Father has for the Son, we see in Abraham having for this child. God asked him to take that son up on a mountain and to sacrifice him, to kill him on that mountain and offer him as a sacrifice. And what does he do? He loads up what he needs to do so, takes his servants, takes Isaac, and he heads toward the mountain. And the Scriptures never says he tells Sarah. And I can understand why he didn't. I'm sure she would have maybe fought tooth and nail. I'm not sure her strength of faith was as strong as Abraham's. But Abraham left that morning and went to the mountain and got all the way up on the mountain. He and Isaac alone up there. The altar is prepared. The wood is laid there. Isaac is bound. He's tied up and laid on top of that. And Abraham raises the knife. He's about to do it. Now, that is a tremendous example of what? That's faith. That's the faith of God. Faith in God is exactly what he had. He trusted God. I mean, this person who was probably the most important thing in his life at that time, he was willing to give it up because God asked him to. Obedience. He trusted in God. He trusted in God's purpose, obviously. He trusted in God's promises to him. He trusted in the nature and person of God, who he was. He's faithful and so forth. And he knew some things. Look at this passage again. He says, when he was tested, he offered up Isaac. He carried through. He obeyed. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Now, look at verse 18. Of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. So see, now he had that promise from God. In Isaac your seed shall be called. Your descendants will come through him. That great nation that I will make of you, through whom the whole world will be blessed, will come through him. And Abraham must have thought, and now you want me to kill him? Okay. And he said, okay. And he obeyed. He did. He trusted God. Look at the last statement, verse 19. Concluding something. He had a mindset that understood the nature and the power of God. Concluding that God was able. The word able is where we get our word dynamite, or dynamo is the word for power. The inherent power of God. God has the power. God has the ability. Abraham concluded that God was able, had the power to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. You see, Abraham understood God. God has promised me this. God has told me of the purpose that he has for me, and this purpose is going to be carried out through Isaac. If God asked me to put him to death, there must be a reason for it. And if he does that, I know he's going to carry through with the promise. He's going to bless me through the seed and descendants of Isaac. So he says, I'm willing to kill him because I believe God can raise him up. And if Abraham had actually carried through with that, that's what would have happened. God would have raised him from death. But you see, Abraham believed in the power of God. He knew, he understood. And he thought about these things and he saw these things about God. And so he believed him. He trusted God. I don't know that God will ever ask us to do something that hard. I can't imagine being asked to kill one of my children. You know, I mean, you know, to give my own life, you know, that would be hard to give my own life. But to kill my children, to take my, you know, life of one of my children, that would be a hard thing. That is an amazing demonstration of a man's faith and of a man's devotion to God. He was so devoted to God that nothing else was more important to him than doing what God told him to do, believing, trusting God, and seeing God's purpose work out in his life. That's what it means to walk by faith. That's what it means to walk by faith. Nothing is more important to us than God, than trusting God, than believing in God, than seeing God's purpose accomplished in our lives, than resting in the promise of God's made and resting in the power of God to carry it out if we just trust Him. You know, I think that's one of the most difficult things that believers face every day, that we don't trust God like we should. We really don't. Too often, we walk in our own strength. We walk according to sight rather than by faith. We forget about God. We forget about God when tough things happen in our lives, when tough decisions come in our lives. Sometimes we leave God out of those things, and where He is to be the number one thing in our hearts and minds. The number one thing we focus on in our lives every day is Him and trusting Him. I don't know why this is happening to me, but I trust You, Lord. I don't know what You've got for me to do here. I don't know what my purpose is here, but I trust You. I can't see heaven, but I trust You. I know one day I'm going there. I know You're going to carry through with that promise. And I know You have the power to handle anything. You know, that's the problem. Sometimes we get fearful. We get worried. We question. We doubt God. We sometimes get angry at God. I know Christians who get angry at God because they don't trust Him. They don't believe that He is the sovereign God of the universe, the creator of all things. He has power over and control over everything. He has the power to do whatever He wants to do in our lives if we would just trust Him and yield to Him. Abraham, I think, is a good example of one who did that. No, he wasn't perfect, and we're not going to be perfect either. But you can see that the faith that he had in God made a difference in his life. And you see how we've been blessed because of the faith of Abraham. You know, I want to close with a verse of Scripture I read this morning. I'm going to read the whole passage, but you're familiar with the two verses in the middle of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. What does it say? And think about it. Don't say it quickly like you memorized it. I know you can rip it off as you memorize it and so forth, but as you think about it and say it, think about what it means. Say it with me. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Think about that. Trust the Lord with what? With all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. That's walking by sight. Trust in Him. Faith in God. In all your ways. How many? Everything you do. Every aspect of your life. All your ways. Acknowledge Him. Think about Him. Think about His person, His power, His promises. Think about all the things that Abraham had faith in. You put your faith in those same things. And what we have, the promise is what? He will direct your paths. He will direct our paths if we just trust Him. Walking by faith. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank You so much for the wonderful privilege that we have of knowing You as Savior. The privilege that we have too, Father, of knowing that You have a purpose for our lives and that You've left us here upon this earth to fulfill that purpose. But You've not left us alone. We know, Father, that You're with us. We know, Father, that Your power is there for us. We know that you're there to handle every situation if we just trust You. Help us to learn this morning from the faith of Abraham and what it means to walk not by sight, but to walk by faith. May we be faithful to do that every day. May we grow and be strengthened in our faith so that we can be used to serve You and that You can use us, Father, as earthen vessels that You can fill and use to touch the lives of other people in this world, to be those ambassadors for Christ You would have us to be, so that people can come to know Him as Savior and Lord as well. We just pray that as we go from this place, that we'll be faithful to You as You are faithful to us. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen.